you reign in the midst of us, and you have called us into your family, and you have made us kings and priests unto you. And you said in your word that as a result of your offering, you're giving your life, that we can reign in life as kings through the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, Father, for this golden opportunity to be together today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for ministering healing and health and strength. Thank you for the unction and the anointing today. Thank you, Father, our eyes are being flooded with light. Thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening us for the race that sets before us. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. You know, as Brenda was sharing about the ladies' breakfast, I got to thinking about this phrase that I'm going to be working with tonight. Pastor Tom, I'm going to be working together on the power of an invitation. And we're going to be ministering to our team leaders tonight. Did you know that there's power in inviting people?
Yes.
Church growth, really, the number one way that a church grows is through discipleship. But first of all, people need to be invited. People need to be invited. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what He will do for you. You know what He's done for me, He'll do for you. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. And I was so delighted two Sunday nights ago. We had, I think, 10 or 11 people water baptized. That's a good thing. You know, and about 43 to 45% of churches that have they done a survey on recently reported that they have zero baptisms. Now, that's sad. That's sad. People should be filled with the Spirit. They should be water baptized on a regular basis.
Amen.
And so a lot of this comes as a result of all of us being ambassadors, all of us doing our evangelism, if you will, personal evangelism, by building bridges of relationships, and then just inviting people to come. And you know, an event like the ladies' breakfast is a wonderful opportunity for you women to invite someone to come. Amen? Somebody said, well, I haven't invited anyone yet, and I don't know. Just go ahead and pay for them anyway by faith.
Yeah.
Amen? And let's call them in.
Can you tell them it's 9:30, not 9?
Oh, it's 9:30 and not 9? But you're going to be there at
9:30. Yes. Well, we're going to eat it.
Are you going to be fashionably late?
No,
all right. Well,
anyway.
So invite people. The power of an invitation. I was in a treatment center back in October of 1974, and I spent about 4 or 5 months in a state hospital recovering from heroin addiction, recovering from alcoholism. And there was a man, he was an ex-con, he was from Stillwater State Prison, and he was there going through treatment, and he gave me these little tracts. Anybody ever received a Chick tract before? He kept giving me these little tracts, kept sowing seed and sowing seed. And, oh, wow, I tell you what, I read those little tracts, and then one day he says, you know, there's an evangelistic campaign in the high school in Wilmer, Minnesota. Would you like to come? He invited me. And that was the beginning of a brand new life for me. I answered the altar call because I heard something, quite frankly, that I'd never heard before. I heard the gospel really for the first time at the age of 24 years old. And I'm so glad that he invited me. And so you are an inviter.
Yes.
Invite people to church. Invite them to come and see. Invite them to all of the good things that are happening here at church. You know, there's a wonderful parenting. It's free. Everybody likes free, right? Everybody likes free stuff, right? So, and man, is it important that parents really, really know how to deal with their children in this day and this hour?
Yes.
So come on to these things. We don't do these things just for show. We do these things because you're valuable to God, you're important to us, and God wants to show you how you can live a victorious life as a parent. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, my name is Mark Thomas, and I totally agree with everything I just said.
Yes.
Amen. Is everybody doing good?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, let's praise Him for a minute. Glory to God. Oh, we worship You this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we call in people into this fellowship from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call every chair filled with people. We declare double in the name of Jesus over our congregation. Thank You, Father, for moving by Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You for ministering to people's hearts. We declare in the name of Jesus, Your kingdom come and Your will be done in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to drink to that. Praise God. Well, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I started a series called True Identity, and then we had Palm Sunday and Easter. What a celebration we had on Easter. And then, of course, Pastor Brenda preached a masterpiece last weekend on joy. So I want to back up a little bit, and I want to talk a little while longer about our true identity. Some of the things that we've already covered is this, that we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I. Amen? But Christ lives in me. Amen. And when you got born again, you became a new creation. Old things were passed away. All things have become new. He put you into right standing with Him. Say it with me. I am.
I am.
I'm the righteousness of God
in Christ Jesus.
And we also discovered that we are not the rejected, but we are the accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
Amen. No more insecurities for me. No more insecurities for you, because we have been accepted. There are no nobodies in the kingdom of God. There are only somebodies. And you are a somebody in Him. Amen. And then we also discovered that we do not have to look to something else or someone else or a job or money or whatever the case may be for us to be complete. Why is that? Because Colossians 2:10 says that we are complete in Him. Amen. We are complete in Him. Say it with me, I am.
I am
complete in Him. Now this morning I want to talk about how that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for this word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you have your Bible today, open it to Galatians chapter 4, and notice with me in verse 6 and verse 7. And it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." Now, the word heir in the Greek simply means one who receives an inheritance by right of birth. Amen. Amen. Now, many years ago, Gloria Copeland was in our church on a couple of occasions. And one thing that she has said recently in some teachings with George Pearson's, she said this, "At the moment I was born again, at the moment I was born again, I was born into the richest family ever known. I was born into the royal family that owns and operates the universe." She said, "I received an inheritance so vast that it will take all of eternity to fully comprehend it." Amen. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said this, "In Christ we've obtained an inheritance." Another translation says, "Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God." Paul prayed that we would know the riches of this glorious inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And so the Father wants us to realize just how rich and how glorious this inheritance that He's given to His people. Glory to God. In the book of Romans, in chapter 8, and verse 16 and 17, it says this, "The Spirit Himself," I like to call Him Himself rather than itself, because Him is not an it. Him is a real person. He's the third person of the Godhead. "So the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Now notice this. And what else? Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we see here this phrase, that we are joint heirs with Jesus. Now in the Greek, joint heir means this: one who is in union together with an inheritor. We are in union, praise God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified says it this way, that we are fellow heirs with Christ, meaning this, that we are joint participants of this glorious inheritance. Amen. Are you participating? Do you know what your inheritance includes? It's so important that you discover by looking into the Word of God what belongs to you in your inheritance in Christ Jesus. See, the Word of God reveals to you the will of God. And the will of God and the Word of God are synonymous. So in the Word of God, it strengthens you and it gives you an inheritance. So I encourage you to spend time in reading the will. Amen. Amen. How many of you know you want to be there of the reading of the will in the attorney's office when you've been left something? What about this group over here? I mean, could you get just a little bit excited about somebody leaving you something? Oh yeah, you'll make that appointment all right. Amen. So in the will of God, glory to God, we see what belongs to us in Christ. Amen. Now notice with me in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, in the Amplified it says this: and he raised you up together with him and made you to sit down together. And I love this, giving us what? Joint seating with him. Amen. Verse 6, actually, excuse me, I made a mistake. Excuse me. Look at verse 6, Ephesians 2. Let's read it together. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. Glory to God. Say with me, I've been given joint seating with him. So we are joint heirs with joint seating. And this seat that you are seated in is a seat with benefits. Way back in the early 2000s, Brenda and I did a marriage seminar up in Toronto, Canada. Remember Earl B. Coulter and Esther? What a wonderful time it was. And we had various sessions and various teachings on marriage and love. And it was just really, really good. But we had a night off. And one of their members of their church had special seats at the Toronto Blue Jays baseball game. I mean, it was right behind home plate. I mean, I don't know how much they cost, but it didn't cost us anything. It was wonderful. And included in that seat was free food. So we didn't have to pay for parking. We didn't have to pay for tickets. And we didn't have to pay for hot dogs. Oh, glory to God. How many of you know Jesus did a whole lot more than get you a ticket to a Toronto Blue Jays game? Glory to God. The price has been paid. And he says, come now, son, come now, daughter. I prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Come to the table and eat. Come to the table and feast. Come to the table and partake of your inheritance. Oh, glory to God. So this seat that we have is a seat with benefits. And of course, when I think of the word benefits, I can't help but go to Psalms 103 verses 1 through 5. In Psalms 103, verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Lift up your hands and let's bless the Lord. Oh, we bless the Lord today. We lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Amen. And then verse 2, it said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. You do not want to let these benefits slip. These benefits are written so that we can remind ourselves of these benefits, so that we are not forgetful hearers, but we are doers and receivers and partakers of all these benefits. Amen. Notice, who forgives all thine iniquities. And what else does he do? He heals all your diseases. Woo, thank you, Lord. The healer's in the house today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer is in the house today. We speak a word of healing over your physical being in Jesus' name. We come against sickness and disease that has come against you. We stand against sickness and disease. Our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer is alive. Our Redeemer is in this house right now, quickening bodies, lifting up souls, causing those people to be raised from any depression or oppression in the name of Jesus. Woo, glory to God. There's a healer in this house. And there's a healer in this house. For you are the house of God. For you are the temple of the living God. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive. And He's alive in you. And He's alive in me. And when He came into your life, He came in with everything that He has for you. Woo! Glory to God. Our God is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's risen from the dead, and He dwells and He lives in you. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Forget not His benefits. You're a joint heir with joint seating, a seat with benefits. He forgives you all your iniquities. He heals you of all your disease. And how about this one? Next verse. He redeemeth your life from destruction. There is a destroyer out there. But we don't want to center in on the destroyer. We want to center in on the sustainer. Amen. He redeems your life from destruction. He sustains you. He keeps you. Glory to God. He's kept you alive for this day and for this hour. You've come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Woo! Hallelujah. He redeems your life from destruction. He saves you on 880. He saves you on the job. He saves you from carjackings. He saves you from airplanes going down. He saves you and sustains you from earthquakes. He saves you and sustains you from Tornado Alley. He is our sustainer. He is our keeper. He is our God. And He's alive today. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That's right, Jimmy. He's your sustainer. He's my sustainer. Glory to God. Don't ever let the doctors tell you it's over. Friends, it's over all right, because it is finished. But it's not over the way they're thinking. No, it's over. It's done. The price has been paid, and I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Woo-hoo. So He redeems your life from destruction. And He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I prophesy over your life today that the mercy of the Lord is hovering over you. His tender mercies are over all of His workmanship. You are His workmanship. So continue to come boldly to the throne of grace. Obtain your help and receive your mercy in your time of need. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Why? So that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Woo, glory to God. I'm looking at a congregation of eagles today. He's restoring your health. He's restoring your youth just like the eagles in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the benefits of the will belong to everyone in the family, and you are in the family. Protection is a part of your inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So speak up. Protection belongs to you, so you better speak up. Psalms 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my shade. He's my protector. He is your fortress. And in Him and in Him alone do we confidently put our trust in. Protection belongs to you. I speak a word of protection over you. I declare over all of our loved ones in this house and all of our members and all of our family and all of our ministry friends that no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. In Jesus' name. And redemption is a part of your inheritance. So speak up. What are you waiting on? Speak up. Speak up. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. If you are part of the redeemed family of God, you need to be saying it. Say it. Enforce Satan's defeat by saying what the word says. It makes the devil nervous when you speak up. It makes him nervous. He knows about that sharp two-edged sword. He was the recipient of that in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is also written. Oh yeah, he's afraid of that sword. And that sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. It is the spoken word of God, and it is part of the armor of God that we must utilize every day of our lives. You see, if we don't speak up, we will lose by default. What the devil wants, he wants us to shut up so he can beat us up. But no, no, no. We are the ones who speak up and shut up the devil's lies. Amen. Healing is a part of your inheritance. Let's rehearse it together. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 4, right through verse 7. Let's read it together like we believe it. Ready, read. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we
are healed.
Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Think about that. He didn't open his mouth, but he sure enough could have. He surely could have. All he had to do was open up his mouth and call for the angels of heaven to rescue him and deliver him from the torment that he was about to receive. But he didn't open his mouth. Why didn't the Master open his mouth? So we could. He didn't open his mouth, so you could. He became sin so you could say, I'm the righteousness of God. He became sick so you could say, I am healed. He became poor so you could say, I am rich in the name of Jesus. So do you see that? He didn't open his mouth so you could. And I don't mean to be a wise guy, but I need to say this. What in the world are some of you waiting on? You need to open up your mouth. You need to be saying what God's word says about you. Don't let the devil beat you up. Speak the word of God and shut the mouth of the lion. Stop putting up with what you've been redeemed from. And start speaking up. Point to yourself and say this, I will stop putting up. And I will start speaking up. Let's look at what Paul did. The Apostle Paul, I mean, anywhere and everywhere Paul went, there was either a riot or a revival. I mean, you know those religious devils got mad. And when those religious devils got mad, there was always an incitement of a crowd and a riot. And what they meant to do to Paul one day, they meant to do him some harm. They wanted Paul to be shut up forever. They were tired of him. And I want you to pick it up, if you would please, in Acts chapter 22 and beginning in verse 25. Acts chapter 22 and verse 25 says, "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by." So get the picture. Paul is tied up like this. And that Roman soldier is out there practicing doing whips. And it's about time for the Apostle Paul to be whipped for spreading false doctrine. Understand this, that he was at the whipping post. Paul said to the centurion in verse 25 that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman and uncondemned?" In other words, Paul didn't just keep his mouth shut. Paul spoke up. Why did he speak up? Because Paul was a citizen of Rome. Paul was a Roman. And he said, "It's unlawful for you to scourge a Roman, to scourge me." Paul was literally saying, "This is not right because I know my rights." He said, "This isn't right." Now notice with me in verse 26. "And when the centurion heard that," he got nervous. "He went and told the chief captain and said, 'Take heed what you're doing. This man is a Roman.' And the chief captain answered, and he said, 'With a great sum I obtained this freedom.'" There were a couple of ways that you could become a Roman. You could do it by paying for it. You could also do it by knowing somebody. But thirdly, you could be born a Roman. And so this guy said, "I paid for my freedom." But notice what Paul said. "I was freeborn." Come on, say it with me. I was freeborn. I was born free. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Notice verse 29. "Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him," or literally scourged him. "And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him," probably invited him into the tent. And said, "Paul, we got some lemonade here. We got some food over here. Would you like to..." You know, they were trying to cover their case because they knew if Caesar found out about it, these guys would be toast. And so they were upset and they were nervous. In verse 29, "They departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew he was a Roman because he had bound him." Read verse 30 with me, please. "And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them." Do you get the picture? He was not beat up because he spoke up. And he spoke up because he was a citizen. He spoke up because he was born free. Now we see a truth and we glean a very important thing I want you to get a hold of today. The enemy wants to beat us up. But Jesus was beaten for us. I said, but Jesus was beaten for us. He took a beating for us. But the enemy's out there. He wants to beat us up and beat us down. But wait a minute. Just like the Apostle Paul, we need to speak up and say this: this is not lawful, because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law.
in Philippians 3:20, it says this: our citizenship is in heaven. Yeah. Did you wear your shouting clothes? Yeah. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm looking at a company of citizens of the kingdom of God. And as a citizen of the kingdom, you have rights and you have privileges. Oh, say of me, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. With rights and with privileges. Now listen to this statement. When you know your rights, the enemy has no right to put on you what was put on Jesus. When you know your inheritance, when you know that you are the redeemed, amen? Amen. Glory to God. Say it to me, the price has been paid. I have been born free. I have been born again. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So Paul spoke up. And as a result, he didn't get beat up. We too must speak up. No, you don't. I'm a child of God. Stop allowing the enemy to run roughshod over your life, over your body, over your mind, and over your finances. Speak up. And what do you say? We put a beating on the devil. What do you say? We just enforce Satan's defeat by speaking up. Yeah. Amen. So when the pressure comes, stop yielding to the pressure and start yielding to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And He will bring to your remembrance all things that you have seen in the Word of God. And He will enable you in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, in the midst of a dark time, He will enable you to speak up. And when you speak up, here's what happens. God arises.
That's right.
And what happens when God arises? All of His enemies will be scattered. They may come against you one way, but oh, they're going to have to flee before you seven ways. The weapon may be formed, but it's not going to prosper because the Holy Ghost on the inside of me is rising up and I'm speaking up and every enemy is being scattered. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stop assisting him and start resisting him. As heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we have been given an inheritance. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks. Do we have something to give thanks about today? Let's just give him thanks right now. Glory to God. Amen. You can do it. Give him thanks. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice. Give him thanks today. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made you able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. A lot of people don't think they're able, but you are able. He has enabled you. You are pre-qualified to reign in life. Say with me, I'm able. What that means, He's given us the ability to receive, and He's given us the faith to believe and to receive our rightful inheritance. Don't ever think for one moment that you're not able. When you got saved, God put His faith in you. You have a measure of mountain moving faith. You have the God kind of faith on the inside of you. Amen. And if your mountain is ever going to move, you must first move your mouth. Amen. So in other words, it is faith that's given you the ability. As we said earlier, the Word of God reveals to us the inheritance. Amen. So what our responsibility then is to step up and take it and receive it. This belongs to me. This is mine. I have it now. I'm not going to be talked out of it. One preacher said many years ago, faith always begins where the will of God is known.
And faith will always end with this bold confession: it's mine, I have it now. Amen. It's mine, I have it now. We need to have this branded in our spirit. Say it with me a few times. It's mine.
It's mine.
I have it now. One more time.
It's mine.
It is mine.
I have it now.
I have it right now. My body doesn't feel like it, but I got it. I got it. I got it. Something about the Word of God that renewed my mind. Oh, got it. I got it. Woo! Do you got it? Come on, sing with me. I got it. I got it. Do you got it? Do you got it? Is it yours? Do you have it now? Say with me,
I got it.
It's mine.
I have it now.
I got a sound mind. I got a mind free from worry. I got a life free from anxiety. I'm full of the peace of God. I've got it.
It's mine.
I have it now. Amen. In your midnight hour, sing up. I said, in your midnight hour, sing up. In your midnight hour, pray up. In your midnight hour, speak up. That's what Paul and Silas did. They were jailed right in the center of God's will. And what they did is they sang up. They prayed up. And they spoke up. And as a result, they got freed in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoo, glory to God. I got it. I got it. I got it. I've got it. See yourself with it. See yourself healed. See yourself as a sower of big seed. So this is why I only got a dollar. Well, you got a dollar. And little becomes much when you put it over in the master's hand. Because the master is the miracle worker. And he can take a seed and he can multiply it 100 times, 1,000 times over and over again. Amen. You've got it. And you've got what it takes to fulfill what God's put on the inside of you. You've got everything that you need to succeed in life.
Yes.
I'm looking at a congregation that is full of success.
Yes.
Said to me, I'm a success. And I'm going somewhere
to succeed.
Now, we said this earlier in Psalm 23, verse 5. I want you to read that with me. It says, He prepares a table before you. Where? I mean, right here in the nasty now and now, there's a table set for you. Amen. What's on this table? Well, I love Brenda's message last week. There's joy is on the table. Yeah, but there's so much going on in the world. I feel so sad. I feel so bad. You need to change channels. Because if you feel sad and you feel bad, you're probably watching or listening to something that's not building you up, but it's tearing you down. Amen. Now, if we allowed ourselves, we could worry ourselves sick.
Yes.
But no, we're citizens of another family.
Yes, right.
We're citizens of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
So we're not going to worry about elections. We're going to pray over the country.
Yes.
We're not going to worry about terrorism taking over our nation. We're not going to do that. But we are going to pray in faith.
Yes.
Because I tell you, one thing that is on the table that we all need to participate in is authority.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Did you know that authority is a part of your inheritance?
Yes. Yes.
And with our authority, we can change the course of a nation.
Right.
See, some of you don't believe that, so I need to say it again. I said, with our authority, we can change the course of a nation. That's a little weak. Amen. With our authority, we can change the course of a nation. The holy nation. can change the course of a natural nation. So on this table is authority. We've been authorized to pray. We've been authorized to bring our supply into the house of the Lord and to pray fervently and to see the purposes and plans of God accomplished in our lives, in our church, and in our nation. So he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. How many of you just enjoy a nice big spread? Brenda was talking about Pawnee, Oklahoma. You ought to see the spread down there on Thanksgiving. I mean, whoo, there's a table just spread of good things. I enjoy a good spread. How about you? Oh, I like a good spread. And I've noticed her relatives, and I notice my sons, and I notice my daughter-in-laws and my grandchildren. They don't leave anything on the table. Amen. They are participants and partakers of everything good that is on the table. And friends, there are no bad things on God's table. There are only good quality things on his table for you. So don't be like a spoiled brat and a spoiled child where God has a difficult time getting you to come to the table. No, come to the table and take it all. And don't leave anything on the table. Lastly, turn with me to Joshua chapter 18. Are you getting anything yet today? Yes. Praise the Lord. If you get nothing else, just speak up. Look at your neighbor and say, speak up.
Speak up.
Ooh, glory to God. Joshua chapter 18. Now notice this. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. And set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. So we see here that the land had already been conquered, and that their full inheritance was available to them. And their inheritance included all of their covenant rights. Now notice verse 2. But there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. See, it was there for them, but they had to receive it. The inheritance God has given you is there for you, but you've got to receive it. So we see that these 7 tribes had not yet taken their inheritance. And here's what Joshua said. And I believe this is a word. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack? How long are you lazy? How long are you slow to move? How long will you put this off? Why are you wasting time? How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Glory to God. I don't believe I'm looking at any sluggards today. I don't believe I'm looking at any slackers. Glory to God. Amen. We must redeem the time and not waste time, because you receiving your inheritance is vital to the whole plan of God in the body of Christ. Every one of us have an inheritance. And as we receive our inheritance and participate in this inheritance, we can then give out our inheritance and be a blessing to other people. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we must boldly claim our inheritance. We must have this attitude. If I see it in the Word, it's mine. It's mine. So with your faith, I encourage you to take the promises of God for yourself. Stand up, everybody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I've done it again. I preach myself happy. Woo. Hallelujah. I consider myself to be most happy. I'm going to congratulate myself all day long because I'm happy. I'm happy in my covenant. I'm happy in my privileges in Christ Jesus. I wonder, is there anybody else happy today? Woo, happy. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Raise a hand toward heaven and say it with me. Thank you, Father. You've made me an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a powerful message. But I did see that we needed to do something.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here at the end.
Let's
are you good?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
So what I was seeing in my heart, you are happy. How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? Well, a friend of ours always says this about that story. Never run at your giants with your mouth closed. Never run at your giants with your mouth closed.
Right.
And I just saw that there's people in here that you've got some giants staring you in the face.
Yeah.
And you haven't done what Pastor Mark was exhorting us. Speak up. You're just looking at those giants, a giant perhaps of a financial lack, maybe a giant of sickness and disease, a giant of relationship issues in your family, and you've just been staring at the giant. Wow, there's a giant right there. But you're not speaking to it. So today, what I saw is we're going to run at our giants with our mouth open and declare some things to these giants.
Yeah.
Anybody with me? Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So first, the big giant that I saw that many people face, and we've all been there, is this giant of lack, just standing there, kind of taunting us. You know, Goliath taunted David.
Yeah, he did.
He's like, oh, look at you little thing coming out here.
Yep.
And you know what? David responded. And he said, you're coming at me with this sword and this spear and this javelin, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
And then he didn't even stop there. He said, this is what's going to happen to you today, Mr. Giant. I'm going to slay you. I'm going to take your head off. And I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. I mean, he got real explicit. Hallelujah. So let's together. Can you just declare these things you want to declare? You
got I'm going to run with my mouth open.
I'm going to run at this giant with my mouth open today. So everybody say this. Even if you're blessed, you can be more blessed. Say, you giant of financial lack.
You giant of financial lack.
I'm talking to you today.
I'm talking to you today.
You stop taunting me.
You stop taunting me.
You stop speaking to me.
I'm speaking to me.
I'm speaking to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
And I declare, the Lord God whom I serve, He provides all of my needs.
He provides all my needs.
I'm speaking abundance.
I'm speaking abundance.
I'm speaking overflow.
I'm speaking overflow.
Poverty and lack.
Poverty and lack.
You gotta go. I cut your head off today. Don't look at me anymore. Because you're gone. In the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you have been dealing with some symptoms in your body? Some symptoms in your body. We've all had that opportunity as well. So we're going to join with these that may be dealing with some symptoms in their body. And it can just look like a giant, this giant staring you in the face saying you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life or it's going to take you out young. No, it's not. So right now, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You giant of sickness and disease.
You giant of sickness and disease.
I'm talking to you.
I'm talking to you.
We heard the word today.
We heard the word today.
Jesus took my infirmities.
Jesus took my infirmities.
Jesus bore my sicknesses.
Jesus bore my sicknesses.
With his stripes I am healed.
With his stripes I am healed.
You giant of disease. I'm cutting your head off today with the word of the living God.
Amen.
I'm taking a stand. I stand on the promises.
Amen.
I am healed.
I am whole.
I am whole. I am strong.
I am strong.
In the Lord my God.
Woo, glory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise
Thank
the
you, Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. So basically what you're saying, we should not be mountain makers,
no,
but we should be mountain movers.
Amen.
Every one of us face mountains, right?
Speak to that mountain.
So what do you do to the mountain? Do we talk about it and how bad it is? No, we speak it. We speak to it. We're mountain movers. You know, Zerubbabel saw some mountains.
Yeah.
And he had a real sassy attitude about him. He said, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel?"
Yeah.
In other words, who do you think you are, O great mountain, before the man of God?
Yeah, that's right.
Before the prophet of God. Then he said something very strategic. He said, "Thou shalt become a plain."
Plain, yeah.
See, he was speaking to the mountain, and he said, "You will become a plain."
Yeah, that's right. That's
in other
destiny.
Words, you
that's
will be removed.
To you. Yeah.
Now, there's no doubt there's mountains that stand in our way.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do is have the same attitude that Zerubbabel had, and that is, this mountain is going to become a plain.
Amen.
In other words, this mountain is going to be removed. It is going to be cast into the sea without a doubt. Say it with me,
this mountain
standing before me,
standing before
without
me,
without a doubt, it's on its way out.
It's on its way out.
And then he said something in addition to this. He said, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain."
Yeah.
And then he said, with shoutings unto it, grace. In other words, Zerubbabel used the weapon of grace.
Yeah, yeah.
He shouted grace to that mountain, and that mountain became a plain. So yeah. I think what we ought to do is we ought to shout at least 5 times, grace.
Hallelujah.
Woo, thou shalt become a plain.
Thank you, Lord.
The grace of God. Roy Hicks said when we were at Rhema, one of those first seminars, he said the grace of God is the operational power of God. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the grace of God. So all week long, that mountain tries it. Come back up, you just shout grace at it.
Right. Amen.
You become a plain in the name of Jesus. Amen.